You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Milder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to share a message today with the title, Your Life is a Solution. Your life is a solution. You know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, he came as a problem solver. Jesus came to solve problems. Amen. We had a problem of sin. We had a need of a Savior. We didn't even know it. And God sent His Son, His very best, to come and solve our problem. Amen. The things you make happen for other people, God will make those things happen for you. You can go read Galatians 6 verse 7. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will reap. So if you continue to plant righteous seeds, you can only harvest righteousness. Amen. So you can change your future. Genesis 8:22. From the beginning, seed time and harvest. If you need more smiles in your life, start smiling. Amen. If you start smiling at people around you, you'll see they'll smile back at you. Amen. If you're frowning at everybody, you'll see they'll frown back. If you need some more kindness in your life, be kind to people around you. Start sowing some kindness, some happiness, some joy. Amen. So whatever your strength is, whatever gifts God has given you, graces God has given you, you should use that to be a blessing to others. That's what the Word of God requires of us. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As each one has received a gift, each one has received a gift. We're not equally gifted, but all of us have received a gift. Minister it to one another. What does that mean? It means the gift that God has given you, you should use that to be a blessing to other people. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak by revelation. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, God has given you gifts. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, whether you like it or not, God has given you gifts. Because sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel, I don't have anything to give. But God says He's given gifts to everybody. And the gift that God has given you, you should use it to help others. You should minister to others. Have you been doing that? We live in a society where we want to be blessed. We just want to be ministered to. But if we want to change our world, we should start showing the more excellent way. We should use our gifts to be a blessing to others. God created us, predestined us for good works. Whether you like it or not, God predestined you for good works. Planned things that you should do to help people. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. Have you done some good works this past week? I know as good Christians, you've gone out and you've been a blessing. Your life has purpose. Your life has a purpose. I know sometimes when you come to church, your need is so great and you're focusing so much on what you want God to do for you that we sometimes forget we have something that can change somebody's life. How do you look at yourself? Do you see yourself as the person with a lot of problems, or do you see yourself as a problem solver? Don't answer, just double blink. Are you a person that has come to church looking at yourself as somebody with a lot of problems? Or do you see yourself as a problem solver? When you have Jesus Christ on the inside of you, You have the greatest problem solver on the inside of you. His ability has become your ability so that you can become a problem solver. You know, sometimes we can think, I'm not at the right place. If I was only in this position, if this could only change, then I can help. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? I'm here to reset your faith. I'm here to change your way of thinking, that you would stop walking and acting and behaving like a problem and start being a problem solver. Because the quickest way to change your situation is to make things happen for other people, then God will make those things happen for you. What we make happen for others, God will make those things happen for us. Can I have one amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's been a tough week, but I know God's in control. I'm a problem solver. I'm a problem solver. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 10. Ah, this is the right message at the right time. Amen. Look at this. Luke 10. Let's go to verse 30. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know it. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of all his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Do you still have compassion for people? Do you still have a heart for people? Your heart will always move in the direction of your hands. Amen? So what's going on in this heart? Hands is just an extension of what's going on in your heart. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. In today's term, he made his car available to him. Brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Turn to the person next to you, say, go and do likewise. Do you know what this is? This is a heavenly assignment. This is God speaking to us and saying, let's meet needs. Let's be problem solvers. This Samaritan knew that God had predestined good works for him. This Samaritan knew that God wanted to use him as a problem solver. He understood that he was created to solve problems. Turn to the person next to you and say, you were created to solve problems. Can I just tell you something? This Samaritan was not the best equipped person for the job. The two people that passed by before him were the better candidates. The priest and the Levite, because both of them were Jews. He was a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews did not see eye to eye. They did not like each other. Turn to the person next to you. Say, when last did you help somebody you don't like? They don't answer. I'm just asking. Amen. I just say to them, just don't get offended. It was just a question. Don't overthink it. Amen? The Samaritan met somebody who needed a helper. And he said, what's in my hands, I'm going to use to help him. Although we don't see eye to eye, he was moved by the compassion in his heart and not what he saw with his natural eyes. By revelation, he knew what God had done for him. So it was easy for him to help somebody else, half dead, dying, making available what was in his hands. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you doing what God has called you to do? If you know God has called you to help, are you helping? It's so easy to look for excuses. You know, we live in a generation where we overthink everything. Let me see, where's the overthinkers? No, nice and high. Don't overthink. Should I raise my... Should I know? Okay, yes, I'm over. Don't overthink. Amen. Let me tell you something. With this church, I was not God's first choice. But I was prepared when God spoke to me to say, yes, Lord, let's do it. So sometimes you might not even be God's first choice. But God is looking for people of heart. You know, this Samaritan, if you look, he only left 2 denarii. And he said, when I come back, I'll give you more. What does that mean? It means he had limited resources. He could not meet the full bill. But he said, just because I don't have enough does not mean I'm not going to help. I'm going to use what I have to meet this need because I'm a problem solver. He saw this as an assignment from heaven to help people. When Jesus said to you, go and do likewise, I want to tell you, for us to help people in this community, if we don't do it, we're not just failing the community, we're failing God who has given us that assignment. That's how serious we should view this. Ephesians 2:10, the Passion Translation says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each one of us, for we are joined to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your destiny is linked to good works. Your destiny is linked to being a problem solver. Jesus is the anointed one. We've become one with him. He is the greatest problem solver. As a born-again Christian, you've become a solution. You've become a solution. You're a problem solver. The gifts, the strengths that God has given you, use it to strengthen the body of Christ. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen? He knew that where he found himself, he had become the solution to the Samaritan's problems. I wonder how many of us would make the commitment to say, God, if people ask for help, I'm going to help. If I see a need, I'm going to meet the need. The Bible talks about being able to give into every good work. Can we become that kind of a people? When you look at this, what did he actually have in his hand? Some oil, some bandages. He fixed the guy. It doesn't say that he was a medic, that he was a doctor. But what he had, he did the very best with it. That's what we are called to do. The foundation of any Christian, the foundation of any Christian that want to go out and make a difference, be a problem solver, is a heart that is open to help. Can I have one amen? People may even take advantage of you. So what? Do you think they're taking advantage of you? If they're taking advantage, they're taking advantage of Jesus. We view these things in the wrong way because we make it about us. When you are able to give something, when you are able to give something, you think what you are giving, yes, you've worked hard for it, but if you're in a position to bless somebody, that's a special grace. Can I have one amen? Turn to the person next to you, say revelation. Turn to the person on the other side, say revelation. Let's talk about South Africa. Our unemployment is at the highest level that it's ever been. If you have a job, it's grace. It's grace. If you're in a position to be a blessing, it's grace. If you're in a position to help somebody, it's grace. with all the challenges that you are facing, there are people that would jump into your shoes right now. They'll say, you know what, let's change places. You jump into my shoes, I'll jump into your shoes. So if we're in a position to be a blessing, it's a special grace. If you can give, we shouldn't even expect a thank you. He didn't say to him, thank you, thank me, you're ungrateful. No, nothing like that. He said, when I come back, if there's any other need, I'm going to meet it. Because he knew he was the one saying thank you for what God has done for him in his life, for what maybe his church has done for him. Then our attitude changes from thinking we have problems to having a mindset of being a problem solver. And when we start solving problems, God will solve our problems. An open heart saying, I'm going to help wherever I can help. I don't do that. I don't give to get. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't give to get. Give because you love. But this becomes the foundation of an open heart to help. That when I come to God now and I say, God, I have a need for the church, I can ask with an open heart for help, knowing, God, that we are here truly to help people. Do you understand what I'm saying? In humility and sincerity, coming to God and say, God, help. My heart is, that's become the foundation. That's the foundation. When you look at yourself, do you just see problems? Or when you look at yourself, do you see yourself as a problem solver? Don't answer. In your heart, I know you. Problem solver, problem. Problem solver, problem. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. Wow. When there's a need, and you meet that need, especially when it's a great need, guess what? God says, I've got your back. Especially people that are not in a position to pay you back or give you anything back. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, generous hands are blessed hands because they give bread to the poor. That's the Message translation. This is what it's all about. Amen? We live in such a society, I'm going to help you if you can help me. I'll be nice to you if you be nice to me. But let's help those that cannot do anything, that cannot give anything back. Are we ready to do that and change our community? Change this province, change this nation? When we come together, we don't come together, oh, I've got so many problems. Come and we'll pray for your problems. That's why we have a miracle service. We'll pray for your challenges, your difficulties. We are there. But when we come together, we problem solvers. We kingdom builders, we're here to make a difference. Amen? When we help those that cannot do anything for us, we have God as our paymaster. When you help people that cannot do anything for you, God sees that. But then you have God as your paymaster. God will open double doors of mercy, double doors of grace for you. Because he cannot go without a hilarious giver, a thankful giver, a giver with an open heart that's always ready to help. Can I have one amen? We have to upgrade our status. Amen? Sometimes when God prompts our hearts to give, we overthink. If this Samaritan had to overthink everything, he could just say, I saw the priest and the Levite. They were supposed to help him. I'm a Jew. You're a Samaritan. Yeah. All those nasty things you Samaritans say about our Jews. All you Jews say about our Samaritans. Justice. Am I talking to the right people here? You look at somebody going through a tough time and think, he said, no, I'm not going to use our indifferences, the fact that we don't see eye to eye, I'm not going to use that as an excuse not to help this Jew. But as a Samaritan, I'm going to help you. Amen? He could have secondly, very easily have said, I don't have enough money. I have 2 denarii, that's for my trip. That's for my accommodation. This donkey is for me. I planned, why didn't you plan? Why did you go into the hijack hot spot? Am I talking to the right people here? Did you not listen to the Spirit of God telling you not to go there, Jew? We're so quick. We judge people on their worst actions and we justify ourselves on our best intentions. He could have very easily said, I've just had enough for myself for my trip. But what he had, he used to help the person that was in need, making a sacrifice, something that cost him. Am I talking to the right people here? You know, when you're on a business trip, you're busy. Anybody been on a business trip? When people are on a business trip, they don't even have time to change a flat tire. How do you then stop for somebody that's lying next to the road? Tell you, no, I've been at a seminar, they've told me, stranger danger, I don't know this danger, stay away and just move on. I hope I'm talking to some people's hearts here. Sometimes we have all these excuses. Amen. You know, fourthly, you could just have said, listen, this is a hijack hotspot. It's just not good for me to stop here. Maybe these guys are waiting to rob me. Maybe this is the bait. I mean, all of you guys that are on Facebook and Instagram, you read all these stories. I mean, you've packed your heart with fear just driving from here to Joburg. And he didn't use any of those excuses. The only thing he allowed the love of God to compel him, the compassion in his heart to move him to help this man to become a problem solver. When you see a need, meet the need. Let me tell you something. There's a specific ministry I visited quite often. And every time I would go there, I would see and specifically look at what is the need that I can meet. Go in and see this one hall where they're having meetings, the speakers are distorting. Speakers are giving problem. Come back, say to my wife, there's a speaker problem up there. Let's get the best speakers that can work. Buy the speakers, just take it up the next time, say, here's the speakers, you can use it there. They fit the speakers. The next time I would go, I would have a look and see, they're battling so late at night with some of the dresses that they're making for the choir. They don't have overlockers, industrial overlockers. I would just come back and say to my wife, you know what, there's a problem there. We can make it easy for them. Buy industrial overlockers, buy industrial sewing machines, take them up. Even if it was 2 of each, just take it up, just make it easy. When you walk into a ministry, look at the needs that you can meet. And if you can meet that need, meet that need. Be a problem solver. I hope I'm speaking to some people's hearts here. I'm sharing, people sometimes want to say, share some of your secrets. I'm sharing some of my secrets. When I go, I would stand there and think, yo, I've now brought a sewing machine. I brought an overlocker to make it easier. Then God would just speak to my heart and say, what you have brought them, what you have brought them, their lives does not depend upon it. But what that ministry has done for you, your life depends upon it. You are the one that should be saying thank you. Don't expect a thank you. Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes we come to church and we want to bring something, expecting a thank you, but go look and see what that ministry has done for you. Go look and see what God has done for you. Before I give, I always meditate upon what God has done for me. I meditate upon the faithfulness of God, how He's helped me, how He has showed grace. And I say, Lord, just keep my heart open. Just keep my heart open. Especially when people come and they ask for the same thing over and over and over. Say, God, keep my heart open. Keep my heart open. Romans 5 says, God has filled our hearts with his love. He's poured out his love in our hearts. So all giving should be motivated by our love that we have for God and that we have for people. When your giving has increased and then your giving has decreased in the kingdom of God, it's usually not a resource problem. It's a heart problem. Is your heart still open to give? Or have you started to close your heart? Because if you close your heart, then you won't be a problem solver. I hope I'm challenging some people here today. We are going to take this nation for God. We're going to take this nation for God, but we need it with the right attitude. To say thank you, Jesus, for what he's done for us. Jesus has never, ever sent us an oxygen account. Anybody received an oxygen account? Just go, ever received an oxygen account? When you felt tired, God didn't send you an energy account. Adrenaline account. There's so many things that when we just start to meditate, we can say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Amplified says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. That's the Passion Translation. Because we are absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. So it's the love of God that becomes the passion. The Amplified says, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. The New King James says, the love of God compels us. When last have you just been moved by the love of God to do something? You need revelation of what God has done for you. So that by revelation you can become a problem solver. That when you look at somebody and think, how am I ever going to solve this? God will bring revelation to show you what to do. What is in your hand at that very moment? Just start to be a problem solver. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you're a problem solver. Because the greatest problem solver lives on the inside of you. Can I just tell you something? We just this week in a staff meeting identified a problem in our community. Probably just not our community, the province and the whole nation. And we're going to solve that problem. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to share with the leaders now in the leaders meeting, and we're going to put things in place, and we are going to solve that problem. It involves parents. Parents and children, we're going to help you. Amen. Who of the parents need some help with their children? Yes, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Ha ha. They're going to solve a problem. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when you start solving other people's problems, while you are solving other people's problems, you discover actually who you are. You actually discover what God has done in you, with you, through you. You actually start to discover the greatness and the destiny that's locked up on the inside of you. The things that you can do. Am I talking to the right people here? Well, let me close. You're a problem solver, whether you like it or not. You are the solution to somebody. Somebody is waiting on the other side of you just to take that step to go and help them. Amen? Be faithful in that. You might be called to help a person. You might be called to help a people. Aaron was called to help Moses. Moses was called to help Israel. Amen. So we're not all gifted in the same way, but find your place. Obviously, if you're in the church, you are there as a church to make a difference. When we look at Exodus, I think it's Exodus 31, verse 10, you can see there how God helped Moses, where Moses did not have to do everything. But God filled them with the Spirit of God so that they became gifted in what they had to do, to work with gold, to work with silver, so that they could become craftsmen and design things very skillfully. So Moses, as the leader, you can go and read Galatians 6 verse 6 as well as a reference. Moses, as the man of God, taking lead spiritually. These people were sent, God filled them with the Holy Spirit, gifted them, empowered them to make it easy for him again in his leadership role. So we are one another's strength. You have strengths that I don't have, and I have strengths that you don't have, but together we become stronger. The big problem is we all have a bit of Moses syndrome. Turn to the person next to you, say Moses syndrome. Moses is called by God. Moses is anointed by God. God says, I'm going to use you. God says, I'm going to send you. And then Moses says, I cannot do it. I'm not equipped to do it, God. God, I'm Moses. You've made a mistake. Am I talking to the right people here? Any of you had a debate or discussion with God like that? You know what God says? God says, Moses, I'm just going to ignore you. Moses, what is in your hand? He says, there's a staff in my hand. He says, okay, Moses, what's in your hand? That's going to become the solution. That's going to become the solution. So I'm asking you, with all your excuses, I'm just going to quote what God quoted to Moses. What's in your hand? Because what's in your hand right now, it's a solution to somebody in need. Moses, the staff, became the solution for the people to believe. Sometimes it's not this big thing. Sometimes it's just you walking in and smiling. Smiling. I met with somebody of the community this week. I saw them. They're not even in our church. And they just told me, they said, the signs that you've put up here in the street just lights up the whole area and gives us all just hope. She says, when I drive past it and I read it, it just lifts my spirit. I said, thank you, Jesus. We're busy solving a problem. Amen. So who of you saw we put up another big sign? Those driving from the hills. Who of you saw the sign when you came down? There is hope. Did you see the sign? There is hope. Who saw the sign? Let me see. Do you see the sign? There is hope. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Because people need hope. People need hope. Sometimes things just go wrong. And people have lost hope. But there's always hope for those who place their hope in Christ Jesus. So we've put this sign there as a church to be a problem solver. To tell people as they drive past, there's hope. 2 weeks ago, we had a care pastors meeting on the Saturday here. We had finished. Everybody was driving out. And a man drove in. He said, I've been to 10 churches. Nobody can help me. My life is falling apart. We were driving out. My wife said, see the man. It's fine. There's the family left. And I saw the man. I could lead the man to the Lord. Can you imagine somebody must go to 10 churches before they find hope? And I said to him, this is not by chance that you are here. I said, we don't meet on a Saturday here. I said, but we are here and you drove in here. You're on God's agenda. And we could have looked anyway and said, oh, sorry, it's Saturday. The meeting is over. You've just missed us. I could have justified it and rationalized it and overthinked it 10 directions. Amen. Could have said to him, what church are you in? Oh, that church. He actually told me what church he's in. And I said, fine. Go back to your church afterwards, but let's help you now. He didn't feel comfortable to go to his own church. I said, we're here to help you. Let's pray about these problems. Am I talking to the right people here? Didn't canvass him and told him you must be in church on Sunday. Didn't tell him, listen, you have to be a member of the church before we're going to pray for you. I'm going to close. This is what Jesus said, and this is what I'm saying to you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. that you solve problems that people can see it, that they may see your good works, the good works that God has predestined and planned for you, the works that are linked to your destiny, and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light. If you've accepted Christ Jesus, the light of the world has entered into you, and you've become an agent of light to expel all shades of darkness. Amen. You have become a problem solver. Where there's darkness in this world, you are the light. You are the light. Go out and let your light shine in such a way that it will glorify the name of Jesus. Seal up.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.